that National Conservatism Conference was basically, despite the histrionics from the left, was basically the same bog standard conservatism, the same bog standard Mail on Sunday reactionaries, David Starkey, for God's sake. There's nothing substantially nationalist or populist about him. Just the kind of discussion that could have been happening under David Cameron or William Hague, peppered with a little bit of internet in-joking and a few of the people that we even like and interact with online, there to give a kind of aura of edginess. Similarly, Ron DeSantis, I mean, I liked Michael Tracy's quip this week. I'm Ron DeSantis. I'm here to solve the virus of wokeness, and the solution is Israel. The people who are still on the Trump side of this intra-right conflict in America are right. DeSantis is a much more conventional conservative politician than Trump is. And what do we have here? This complete joke of him launching his presidential campaign with Elon Musk in a Twitter space. The right is cringe too, and the right is really in a kind of similar moment to where the left was in 2019 in some ways, where it did feel like Twitter was the world, and it did seem like because you were sort of winning the meme war, you were going to be able to kind of bring your politics into the real world, or to make them happen in the real world, when actually you're at best being used, and at worst you're making yourself completely irrelevant by sort of channeling what potential you have into this kind of oddball online in-joke culture.
Well, as the great man himself said, Ron DeSantis, his collar's too big. Trump is loving this, I suspect. And it was the weirdest thing, like that they were launching like in a Twitter space. I mean, it was just, you can tell like that was probably the idea of one of like DeSantis's extremely online advisors, who probably like runs a very popular right-wing dissident Twitter account or something. If we do it with Elon, that'll get us good coverage. And it just came across as very, very strange. And Michael Tracy's joke is exactly the right way to put it, because like he went to Israel to sign an anti-free speech law recently, Ron DeSantis, and then prayed at the Wailing Wall with his own personalized skull cap on. I mean, it doesn't get much more cringe than that, to be honest. This is the man who's going to slay the woke dragon. It just doesn't work, because they tell you one country that's been woke washing itself for decades, and how that's Israel. You look at the tweets from the Israeli government, and it's all about, this is the most LGBTQ plus friendly place in the Middle East, only democracy in the Middle East. Check out our feminist warriors and the IDF. Yeah. So it just reveals just that this is who Ron DeSantis actually is. Beneath the relatively smart decision he made to take a political risk on the COVID policies, which was a calculated risk, the one that paid off very well for him. Beneath that, he's a mid-2000s George Bush era Republican, with all the obsessions and all the nostrums that he pays homage to from that period, which is basically fanatical support for Israel as America's enforcer in the Middle East. It's probably big tax cuts for the rich. We're going to clamp down ever more on welfare recipients, and I'm going to try and privatize Social Security, and I'm going to call it choice. And this time, I'm going to say that I want you to have the choice, America, because you deserve it. You don't want some 90-year-old Social Security. You want a new updated version that won't go to woke college professors or something like that. And this is exactly where it's going. And it's just being retold. I mean, at least some of the Trump guys can see through DeSantis. But it's clear that certainly a section of the American ruling class are enthusiastic about it because they regard him as a far better alternative than Trump, who was too erratic, too unpredictable, prone to do strange things in their point of view, like wander into accidentally brokering a peace with the DPRK just because he got on well personally with Kim Jong-un, you know, which of course they definitely don't want.
Yeah, but, whereas you can't imagine Ron DeSantis getting on personally with anyone.
No, not at all.
So there's no danger of any of these contradictory accidental anti-imperialist alliances coming to fruition.
No, and but they whether they'll get him, of course, is another question, which is they're working very hard to try and lawfare Trump out of this race. Very hard, because they know DeSantis can't beat him. If Trump's on even vaguely the form he was in 2016, he'll crush DeSantis in the debates. He'll whip up the enthusiasm of the Republican base again, and he'll win quite easily. So they've got to find a way to legally prohibit him from getting in there or pour enough buckets of crap over him, because, you know, there's enough things that he's done in his past that can be raked over the coals again, like this civil suit that he's been found guilty in recently and has to now pay damages to this woman who he disparaged on Twitter or something, which is what the suit was brought ultimately about and was what he was found against for. So if they can lawfare him out, then they'll be running DeSantis against a fading and failing Joe Biden. Now, can they make that work? I think they probably could, because suddenly the ruling class has options. They had to go with Biden to get rid of Trump, and they had to go with Biden to make sure that Sanders didn't get anywhere near the nomination, because for all that Bernie rolled over and died, like the mere act of raising expectations is too much, which is ultimately what did for Corbyn. He raised some expectations. That was too much, had to go. Sanders raised some expectations, too much, got to go. So if it's Biden versus DeSantis, well, then you'll see the media take on its more traditional role in the United States, like it did during like Gore Bush 23 years ago, which is it will be many more of the establishment media will suddenly find that at home with Ron DeSantis, he's a real nice guy. You know, a picture of Ron holding a coffee cup, looking awkward, trying to introduce the family as if he speaks to them. That kind of thing. And then you'll see President DeSantis is a very different deal to what you would get with Trump, of course. But then you will see some truly dangerous things happen, because DeSantis is committed to some very aggressive things, both domestically and internationally. He's, of course, as a Florida governor, he's courted the sort of Cuban anti-communist vote down there, the Venezuelan anti-Maduro vote, the Nicaraguan anti-Ortega vote. He's very much tied into all of that. He's a very much down-the-line Republican, anti-socialist, anti-communist character. And he's more competent than Trump. Trump got bored of the Venezuela coup and basically just left Juan Guaido hanging out to dry. DeSantis wouldn't get bored. DeSantis would pursue it relentlessly.
That's the chilling thing about him. He does have all of the crude, banal, sadistic beliefs of an actual conservative in the way that Trump just did not.
No, Trump remained like a 1980s New York liberal, I think. I don't think he's changed his beliefs in 40, 50 years. Like, and he wasn't really interested in a lot of the stuff that John Bolton wanted to do, even though he appointed him, of course. So I mean, when Bolton and Pompeo and others were demanding a war on Iran for shooting down a drone, like, Trump rightly said, no, that's insane. Like, we're not going to do that, even though, of course, he approved of the assassination of Soleimani, which would have nearly caused a war anyway. But the fact was that he wasn't committed enough to the policies of empire. That's why, of course, they had to Russiagate him. It's why they had to do all this lawfare on him, because he just wasn't into it enough. Trump was interested in signing a deal to open a factory somewhere after having paid a huge subsidy to the owners or something, or sticking his name on something. He wasn't really interested in making wars. He wasn't even interested in a war with China, I don't think, even though he objectively made the situation vis-a-vis Chinese relations worse with the trade war. Ultimately, the way he saw it was the way he saw business, which is, I'm going to make a big statement, I'm going to make a lot of noise, and then these Chinese guys, they're going to come to me and we're going to make a deal. But of course, the words of presidents have more power than the word of a businessman who runs a reality TV show. And so when you put all those aggressive statements out there into an atmosphere where America's losing ground to China anyway, you do make the situation worse. But again, we come back to the point. He just wasn't mad enough for them. DeSantis is absolutely 100% all in on, I will defend the American empire to everybody else's death, not my own. This is a guy who volunteered and went to Iraq in the military and remains proud of it. No anti-war veteran here. So if he gets it, then the Joe Biden administration, with all of its bizarreness, will look like a mild episode in comparison to what DeSantis will do. And he's also very careful in his answers. When he's asked about something, if you notice this, he deflects to his safe area. So when he was asked about Ukraine and the military and whether it's prepared or not, and he deflects to, well, it's too much wokeness in our military, we're not prepared. I will end wokeness in the military. Okay, to what end, Ron? Well, to the end that you'll deploy them to Western Ukraine, perhaps, or stick them on Taiwan, because that's where his politics go, ultimately.
Yeah.
And he's using this, whereas the left falls for woke washing, the right will fall for anti-woke washing. It's the same process, but reverse.
Yes, that's crucial.